Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, I will be sharing from Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. The title is Peter's Sermon, Part 2. Again, I will be coming from Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. To hear part 1 of this message, that covers Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 18, visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Click on the worship tab, and you will find that part 1 message there. Before we begin, let's pray. Our Father, gracious, loving, just, holy, and merciful Father, we adore you on this day. Forgive us of our sins and trespasses against you. Forgive us for choosing other people and things to follow instead of you. Thank you for being a forgiving God. Thank you for listening to our prayers. I pray you continue to help us to hear from you through your word at this time. Do not allow the enemies to take this from our hearts, but instead allow us to cling to your word and apply it to our lives. Thank you for all that you do and all that you are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Can you think of an emergency situation that requires immediate action? It could be some type of extreme weather situation, such as a tornado among the horizon, which will force you to take cover. It could be a fire that will cause you to stop, drop, and roll. Regardless, the situation will cause you to act because the action you take could very well be the difference between life and death. These emergency situations require immediate action. Not just immediate action, but the correct action in response to the situation. We can all have these emergencies, but there is one such emergency, an emergency among emergencies, and that is a situation which is called sin, and it requires an immediate response. Now, as we continue in our journey through the book of Acts, specifically in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26, as we continue with the second part of Peter's sermon after the healing of the lame man at the temple, Peter shows us how to share the truth about Jesus and the appropriate response to our sin. Peter provides the charge to the people, which is the same charge for us today. It is repent. More specifically, here in Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 19, we are commanded to repent and turn to God. In the text, Peter gives us three truths. One, the blessings are received if we repent of our sins. Two, destruction will occur if we don't repent of our sins. Three, and that repentance of our sins is only possible because of Jesus Christ. Let us read. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Here, Peter continues with his sermon to the people. And it reads, Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Repent. Therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these things. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God has raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Before this, in verses 1 through 11 of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John had planned to go to the temple at the hour of prayer, but it was called over by a man who could not walk, who had no use of his legs since birth. The man asked for money, but instead Peter, with John, with him, and powered by God, provided healing for the man in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As you might imagine, a miracle like this near a crowded place like the temple will draw some attention. In fact, the people marvel at what had just happened to the lame man. Peter seizes the opportunity with the attention of all the people surrounding them to preach Jesus, to proclaim the truths about Jesus. Peter, in his message to the people, reminds us of the importance of being obedient and keeping our focus on Jesus. Also, Peter boldly told the people that they had sinned by denying and killing Jesus, a boldness that we need each day to confront our sin and confront the sins of others who may say that they are followers of Jesus. Lastly, Peter faithfully talked about Jesus on the cross, providing a reminder for us that we must be faithful to keep the work of Jesus on the cross front of our minds, allowing that faith to fuel a life of righteous living. Starting in verse 19, Peter says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted." To repent means to turn the mind, will, and emotions away from sin. Repentance involves more than just a decision in or intellect. It is a change of mind that issues a change of behavior. To drive home his point to the people, Peter did not only say repent, but also for them to be converted. To be converted means to turn towards. Simply speaking, to repent means to turn away from sin, but to be converted means to turn towards God and submit yourself to all his ways and will. What Peter's preaching here is not a new idea. People were told to repent many times throughout the Bible. For example, prophets such as Jeremiah preached repentance, which is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. It reads, "Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return." Another example of a prophet who preached repentance was Ezekiel, who in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 6 said, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from your abominations." In fact, one of the main ministries of the prophets in the Old Testament was to bring Israel to repentance. However, the nation refused to listen to the prophets and had to suffer terrible consequences because of it. Just as people throughout history has been warned of their sins and been called to repent of their sin, we too, in this generation, you and me, still are called to repent of our sins. Peter goes on in the latter part of verse 19 through verse 21 and explains an important principle to the people, a principle that we must believe and know even today. That principle is that there are blessings that are received if we repent of our sins. I will list the blessings that Peter expressed, and then I will expound upon them in just a bit. Verse 19 continues and says that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Don't miss this. Here are three blessings that are laid out for us if we repent of our sins. One, your sins will be blotted away. Two, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Three, Jesus will be sent. Now, let me talk just a little bit about each of them so that we can better appreciate the great blessings that each are. First, the blessings that if we repent of our sins, that they will be blotted away. Your sins being blotted away means that they will be wiped away. There will be no evidence of existence, completely gone. As I thought of what this means, I was reminded of when I was attending Central Middle School. I would be given research papers to write, and my teacher required that they had to be typed. I had a typewriter, and in my opinion, it was a pretty sophisticated typewriter. It had a special feature that allowed it to erase letters on the paper. Now, this was cutting edge for that time because those of you who have used a typewriter before know that if you make a mistake, you have to use whiteout to cover it up. Wait for it to dry and then type over it. Now, this typewriter that I had, it had an erase feature that saved a lot of time. There was a problem, however. Although I was able to present neatly typed research papers, there was still evidence of where I had made mistakes, with typing the wrong letters, numbers, and symbols. Unlike today, when I type on the computer, we can make a mistake and then just type backspace or highlight and delete. And there's absolutely no evidence that there was ever a mistake even made. That is what repentance does. It completely wipes the slate clean with God. No evidence of any wrongdoing ever done. In addition to our sins being blotted out, the second blessing that comes from repenting of our sins is that refreshing times will come from the presence of the Lord. It means that God's original design of perfect harmony will be experienced. It is a refreshing peace that will encompass that whole earth. It will be like an unexplainable peace, such as that which is described in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 6 through 10. It reads, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play with the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." Wow, how refreshing is that? Everything in such harmony, no sense of rivalry, evil, strife, discord, none of that, just peace. Lastly, as shown in this scripture in verse 20, another blessing that will result of repenting of our sins is that Jesus will be sent. Now, this refers to the second coming of Jesus, the last judgment, and the removal of sin from the world. Verse 21 says, "And referring to Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Peter reiterates the great truth that Jesus is still alive, reiterating the resurrection, but is received into heaven until the restoration of all things. This time of restoration of all things is not known to man, but to God alone. What we must understand is God's grace and mercy, and that Jesus has not returned to bring judgment on the earth yet. Why is this, you ask? It is because it provides us with all the more time to repent of our sins and to preach repentance to others so that they can repent of their sins. Let us not take it for granted as if God is delayed in sending Jesus back to earth, but rather see it as a wonderful display of love, because each day is an additional time that is given to all of mankind on the earth to repent of their sins. There is no doubt that there is blessings that result from the repentance of sins. That is the first principle to learn and apply. Now, the second principle is to know and believe that destruction will follow if you fail to repent. Looking at verses 22 through 23, it says, "Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.'" We have to remember in this context that Peter is talking to the people of Israel. These people who were assembled in the temple, who were there to pray. Needless to say, they probably had some extensive religious knowledge of the time. Specifically, they would have been well-versed in the scriptures of old, and they would have held the prophets such as Moses to high esteem. Here, Peter relates to them on their level and tells them again and shows that they do not have any excuse not to repent and believe, because Peter points out what Moses said about Jesus. Here, Peter quotes Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19, and reminds them that Moses said that the prophet. Now, if you are following along in your Bible, you should see that the word prophet here is capitalized. This capital P in the word prophet refers to Jesus. Moses told their forefathers that Jesus would come and they would listen to him. In other words, obey what he commands and to follow his example. For anyone who does not obey, they therefore sin. And verse 23 is very clear in saying that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. clearly stated, if you do not repent of your sins, you continue to live your life for your own satisfaction, fulfilling any desire, feeding any evil that you crave. You will be destroyed if you do not turn away from those sins and turn to God. To drive home this important matter, this matter of life and death, Peter reminds the people of something very important. In verses 24 through 26, Peter reminds them of who they are. Peter in verses 24 and 25 says, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Here the promises are expressed here. The promise that were provided to God's chosen people, Israel. Peter reminds the people of the promise that was given from God to the father of the many nations, Abraham, which was recorded in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 18, chapter 22, as well as Genesis chapter 26. That message from Peter and those many years ago still applies to us. You are God's chosen people. He has made a covenant with you through your father, Abraham. But the question is, will we receive that great blessing? In verse 26, we are told that it is only through Jesus Christ that we are able to repent of our sins. Verse 26 says, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. This is key. Jesus, God's servant, who was sent to us to bless us, but turning us away from our iniquities. It is because of the power and authority that rests in Jesus, is which allows us to repent. We cannot do it in our own might or our own will. We must submit to the power of Jesus. Let us not miss all of this wisdom. Peter teaches some valuable principles when it comes to repentance. That yes, it was directed to the people of Israel during the first century, but these principles of repentance are so relevant to us on today. We must cling to these principles. We must meditate on them. The principles that were shared related to these scriptures verses told us that blessings come when we repent of our sins. Also, destruction will come if we refuse to repent of our sins. And lastly, we must understand that Jesus provides the means for us to repent. Now, in addition to meditating on these truths, it is important for us to apply these truths to our lives. Based on the principles provided today, in order for us to be effective, we must take necessary action. To live a life of repentance, firstly, we know what repentance is and we must repent often. Now, in addition to meditating on these truths, it is important to apply these truths to our lives. Based on the principles provided for us today, in order for us to be effective, we must take necessary action. To live a life of repentance, we must first know what repentance is and repent often. Our repentance must be a plea and confession to the Lord. We have to have a confessing heart like David after his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. His confessing and heart of repentance is recorded in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. Which says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak. And blameless when you judge. Ultimately, we must know that our sin is against God only. Not only should we have a heart of remorse because our sin, but there must be an action to follow. It is one thing to say sorry, but our actions afterwards must show that we are truly sorry. In the parable of the two sons, Jesus shares a story of what repentance looks like. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31, Jesus says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he went to the second son and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Here Jesus is telling the people that it is not about the lip service or the fake worship. If you are truly obedient and want to turn away from what you're doing, sinning against God, then we should turn back towards God and our actions should show it by doing what the Bible says. We should be doing, submitting our lives to the will of God. Each of us need to repent. Every man, woman, and child need to repent of their sins. In addition to practicing personal repentance, another action step is that we must boldly call out others to repentance. You must tell others that they need to repent of their sins. As I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the message, that repentance was preached in the Old Testament by the earliest of prophets, but also repentance was preached in the New Testament also. Obviously so. We see it here in the text in Acts chapter 3 that Peter preached repentance. However, I do want to bring to your attention the fact that even from the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, he preached repentance faithfully and also with great urgency. It is recorded in Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, which says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Furthermore, Jesus, the Son of God, in the flesh, when he started his earthly ministry, it is recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, which says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have to follow these examples and obediently call others to repent of their sins. Peter teaches us a valuable lesson in how we should call people to repentance and show them their sins. That lesson is that you have to be very clear in what the sin is. You must be very specific and name it an offense that is contrary to God's will and show them in the Bible what it says. For example, Paul in Acts chapter 3 tells the men of Israel what their sin was. He told them that they had rejected and killed the Messiah Jesus. They rebelled against God. We must be clear in calling out the sins of others also. Without people knowing their sins, they will not know what they need repentance of. For example, people need to know that it is sin to lie. It is a sin to steal. It is a sin to commit murder, and that includes unborn children. It is a sin to fornicate. It is a sin to worship idols. It is a sin to be lazy. It is a sin to be quick to anger. It is a sin to be a gossip. It is a sin to be prideful. It is a sin to lust. It is a sin to participate in same-sex relationships. It is a sin to practice gluttony. It is a sin to practice sorcery and witchcraft. We cannot afford to not call out sin. You cannot be fearful to call out sin. The Bible is clear that believers should confront sin. Also, the Bible also provides instructions on how to confront the sin in a loving way. First, you should always make it a goal to call out sin with the purpose of repentance. This process should not be condemning, but with a loving hope to bring someone to God. You should always confront sin with a spirit of gentleness, especially when you are dealing with a fellow believer. This is laid out in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. It provides a basic blueprint. It is first necessary to speak to the person privately. If they do not listen, the scripture says that you are to bring one or two others. If that does not work, you should bring it in front of the church. In addition to personal repentance and calling out the sins of others, lastly, we must know that the Bible is sufficient to be used to bring others to repentance. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness. The scripture, the Bible is given by the inspiration of God. There is a quote by Oswald Chambers about repentance. He says, it is not repentance that saves me. Repentance is a sign that I realize what God has done in Christ Jesus. The danger is to put the emphasis on the effect instead of on the cause. Is it my obedience that puts me right with God? Never. I am put right with God because prior to all else, Christ God. When I turn to God and by belief accept what God reveals, instantly, the stupendous atonement of Jesus Christ rushes me into a right relationship with God. By the miracle of God's grace, I stand justified. Not because of anything I have done, but because of what Jesus has done. The salvation of God does not stand on human logic. It stands on the sacrificial death of Jesus. Sinful men and women can be changed into new creatures by a marvelous work of God in Christ Jesus, which is prior to all experience. Let us not forget that repentance is a gift of God. This is because God is holy in nature, cannot tolerate sin. Mankind, all of us, are guilty of sin. The Bible says that the punishment for sin is death, an eternal spiritual death away from God. God, who is all-knowing, knew that we could not pay for the punishment of our sin. Therefore, he sent his son Jesus to earth to live a life perfect and to be a perfect sacrifice for the sins of all of us. Jesus did indeed pay the price on the cross when he shed his blood and died. He was buried and rose again on the third day, defeating death once and for all. Jesus is the savior of all. The wonderful gift is that if mankind would confess and repent of their sins, God will forgive them of their sins. Repentance is necessary to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. If you do not repent, the Bible is clear that destruction will come. In other words, you will be destroyed. There is only a response for all of us. That is to repent. Repent of your sins. Let us pray. Dear holy and righteous God, I give you the honor and the praise. Thank you for the message of the repentance that is found in your word. Help us to understand that repentance is only possible because of Jesus. Also help us to know that when we sin against God and against God only. We pray that all things that was said was pleasing to you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for your saving grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, church planter of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or visit us at our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings or at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in his word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.